Good morning, 7:43 on the mighty 690. It is time for our legislative update, and we have Dr. Ron Bryce in studio. And how are you doing, sir?
Good morning. Wonderful day to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're excited to have you in, and we're excited to also be able to take some calls with some of the listeners. But before we begin, anything you want to start off with before we open the phones?
Well, I just want to say thank you to the people in Montgomery County that's sending me to the State House in Topeka. It's been very gratifying to be able to work for issues that are important to the people in Montgomery County. And every time I drive into Topeka and I see that State House dome, I'm just in awe and grateful that I'm able to work in that place and to work for the issues that are important for people.
Excellent. Very good. Well, go ahead and give us a ring, 620-251-6909. But we're going to go ahead and go to the phones. Good morning, caller. What is your question?
Yes, my name is Kevin Cole, and I want to thank Representative Bryce for all he does for the state of Kansas, and particularly Southeast Kansas. I appreciate that. Senator Bryce, do you have some guidance of where SB 83 stands and then kind of your position on where that stands?
Sure, yes. And by the way, I'm not a senator. I am a representative, but the Senate, it is a Senate bill that we're looking at in the House of Representatives. Senate Bill 83, that's the real hot topic, especially this week. That was presented in the session on Tuesday. Christy Williams is the representative who presented that. And let me just say the status of that, before we get into the meat of it maybe, the status of that is it passed the House and will be... We're waiting to see what the governor ultimately will do as far as a veto and ability to override a veto in the two chambers. But, you know, when I first started, I'll just say about a year ago, I had no idea I would be in politics. I'd be in the State House. In fact, the first time I ever saw the Topeka was about a year ago. I went up to visit my representative and senator and take a little tour of the State House. That was my first time to ever even visit Topeka. But in the past year, I've learned a whole lot, and by going door to door, one of the shocking things to me was how important and how front burner public education issues, educational issues were for people. I mean, and by the end of the summer when I was campaigning, I realized, you know, we need to fund special education. We need teachers' pay increase. There's a more morale problem in a lot of the public education institutions, and there's often a conflict or a perceived conflict between those that are teachers and educators and those that are parents. And all this, along with a mushrooming budget, just made it very, very important to me to do something about this. So Senate Bill 83, which has come up, it's been worked on probably the last 3 or 4 months very diligently. But it addresses all these things. It fully funds special education, and that issue, actually, the state has been doing their part on special education. It's the federal government who have not done what they're required to do by law. If they did what they were required to do by law, we would have 113% of special education budget. But it's just the leverage to get Congress to do what they should do by law. Teachers' pay, I have mixed feelings about how we're doing that, but this bill does have $72 million, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry. $72 million for special education. I believe it's over $100 million for teachers' pay increase. I like to keep, I like for local school boards to make decisions about teachers' pay and local issues, but the state stepping in and giving this large amount of money for teachers' pay, I think, will be a very positive thing. Let me just say, I am very pro public education. My four kids all went through public education. Some went through a private school also. Some of them we homeschooled. All four we homeschooled for a while. So I've kind of seen it from all four, all perspectives. And we have to have solid education for the future. And our students and their education is high priority. And I think we reflect that in Kansas because over 50% of our entire state budget goes to K-12 education, which is a huge amount of money. That having been said, I want to be positive toward the schools and the school districts But we have to, at some point, step back and take a look at things like proficiencies and test scores. And if, for instance, a school district within the listening area of KGGF has only a 3% proficiency in math and 10th graders, we need to address that. And I think this bill not only addresses special education, teacher pay, it also has educational savings accounts. And that's kind of the sticking point for the a lot of the educators. But really what it does is it encourages parents to take charge of their child's education. They are given $5,000 a year, approximately $5,000, which can be used for tuition, books, computer, curriculum, etc. at a private school, micro school, parochial school. And the school, it's done, Senate Bill 83, I think, is genius in a way. It does it in a way that does not decrease the budgets or the funds given to school districts. It takes from 2 to 4 years of the highest school enrollment, and it continues to pay the school districts for that. So, you know, at an extreme, if you had a hypothetical where, say, a school district has 1,000 students this year and 0 students next year, they would, you know, at 20,000 a student, they would have $20 million and nothing to do, you know. So it's basically make sure that the school districts are not left out on a lurch. And I am very supportive of this, partly because of the special education funding, partly because of the teacher funding, but especially because it empowers parents to make decisions for their children's education. I think that is something that in a lot of ways has been missing. And so I'm supportive of Senate Bill 83.
All right. We have some more callers on the line, but any more questions to our current caller?
Yeah. I just wanted to get your feedback on the tax credit bill. And I too believe that parents should have the choice to do what's best for their kids. Obviously, I've had kids that was a student of public education, and then also myself was a product of public education. But one concern is that these schools could be either unregulated private schools, homeschools, or what I think your K-12 education chair has named them, micro schools, which could be schools that could pop up in a community that are unaccredited and do not have basically the same accountabilities that public education has. And so I wanted to get your comment around that. And then the next thing is just the fact that is it true that a family of four could make a $180,000 contribution to an ESA for a family of four making up to $180,000. Will that money come out of the general fund? So in essence, that would have a negative impact on overall education. So those are the two questions I have.
Right. The first question about accountability, that was my first concern when I first heard about this bill, was how are these schools going to be accountable? Because I know when we homeschooled and when we were in private school, there was some accountability with national organizations. But homeschools are largely not accountable to government agencies. And I would say the accountability is two things. One is the money, and one is the education itself and the education process. The money part of it, and I think I heard you say something about tax credit. This bill does not have a tax credit, by the way. It is an educational savings account. There's through the treasurer of the state of Kansas, an account is set up for every student that joins this program. Approximately $5,000 a year is given into that account. And in real time, you know, we have debit cards now and we have electronic transfers. In real time, the treasurer's office has a mechanism set up to make every purchase in every educational savings account accountable. And so the financial accountability is actually much better than the current public education economy. Well, I won't say much better, but it is very, very much so accountable. The as far as the curriculum goes, homeschooling, the accountable, I guess the question is, who are we accountable to? Are we accountable to the parents? Are we accountable to the taxpayers? Are we accountable to a government agency? This sets up where the parents are the ones we are accountable to. And it sets up where the money is accountable through the treasurer. The second question was about the family of four being able to have money. The part of the genius of this bill is it actually adds to the state coffers rather than takes away, because right now we spend for a family of four. Well, let me put it this way. If you have four children in public education, congratulations, you're a millionaire. Day one, you're a millionaire, because each student is given approximately $20,000 per year, K through 12. That adds up for a family of four to over $1 million. So your taxpayers that live around you paying property taxes, they give you basically $1 million through public education to educate your kids. This bill would not have $20,000 per year for the student. It would have $5,000. So it actually reduces the state burden. It's convoluted, but $7,000 a year plus to the state budget.
All right, we appreciate calling. Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. What is your question? Okay, we lost you there. So go ahead and call back in again, 620-251-6909, and we would be more than happy to take your question here on the air for Representative Ron Bryce as we go throughout a Friday. A lot of different topics and things that have been discussed. We have Mr. Bryce, that there was some work in Topeka on marijuana. They've been talking about that as well. And I know we've got a lot of the different ways we could go, but we got our caller back on the line. So go ahead with your question, caller.
Hi, good morning. Can you give us an update on the food sales tax issues?
Yes, the food sales tax was, as you may know, it was scheduled to be reduced over about 3 years. The proposal now is to reduce it January 1st. The problem with that is if the local municipalities have bond issues and different things in their budget tied to sales tax revenues, like a lot of rural Kansas towns, the grocery store is maybe the majority of where they get their revenue through sales tax on groceries. So I'm on the taxation committee on the House side, and we're very much aware of that, and we're taking care of that by allowing localities to have their sales tax remain whole. The state portion of the sales tax on food, if this passes, will go away on January 1st rather than being phased out over the next 2 or 3 years.
Very good question. We appreciate you calling. We have time to squeeze a couple more calls in, 620-251-6909 or 1-800-252-5443. And as I was saying earlier, we have had some discussion on the medical marijuana, and it looking like it's not too promising to pass in the immediate future. It's kind of died out there.
Well, I think with the vote in marijuana several days ago, it was soundly defeated as far as recreational marijuana.
In Oklahoma, yeah.
I had the privilege of having a meeting with the deputy of the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation about their experiences in Oklahoma with marijuana. And I'll be honest with you. I will be frank. I'm not really that much of a politician, because I'm going to just tell you the truth. I have treated many of the adverse effects of marijuana through the emergency room. I'm an emergency room doctor. I've seen people's lives ruined, of friends, and I am not a proponent of recreational marijuana. Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation says there are over 20,000 marijuana farms that have sprung up in Oklahoma. If every person eligible to smoke medical marijuana smoked every day, it would take up about 3% of their crop. So this stuff is going out there. There are cartel players involved. I forget how many continents. He said, but Asia, South America, different organizations are involved with hiring people to set up a corporation in Oklahoma. It is not the model that we want to do in the state of Kansas. Wednesday and Thursday this week, the Senate had hearings on marijuana. We'll see what they do. On the House right now, we have nothing before us with marijuana. We'll just have to wait and see what the Senate does on this.
Sure. We've got about a minute and a half left. Anything else you'd like to hit, sir? I know we've talked a couple of different topics before here. We also mentioned the men and women's sports. There's all sorts of stuff we could get to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yesterday we had a vote on the definition of a man and a woman, which was very exciting.
Oh, sure.
And actually, the biggest issue for me when I went in, besides education, was tax relief. And we're working rapidly on how we can have property tax relief, sales tax relief, as the caller mentioned, and also income tax relief, especially for people on Social Security and retirement income. There's a cliff. I don't want to get into too much the weeds, but there's this cliff at $75,000 if you're on Social Security, and you make $75,001 and you have a huge tax burden at that point. We're taking care of that. So I think we'll have by the next 3 or 4 weeks, we should have tax bill that approaches property sales and income tax relief for people, because taxes are just too high. And part of that is reducing the cost of government, but part of it is we have a surplus now and we need tax relief.
Well, very good. And we never have enough time together, it seems like. But as we wrap up in the last few seconds, anything else you'd like to impart on the listeners?
Well, I just want to say thanks again for the opportunity to serve. It's an honor. I want to do it in a way that really represents the people of Montgomery County and the 11th District. I want to invite anyone who can to come up to the State House. Like I mentioned, yeah. I'm relatively new up there, but we have a lot of visitors. This week I had an old classmate up there that was advocating for disability rights, and we have many of the local business people, pages, and they come up and visit. I love to visit with people. I love when school children are up there. I show them John Brown's sword and some of the museum pieces.
So that's great. Well, thank you, Dr. Ron Bryce. So we appreciate it, and we look forward to chatting again soon.